There is a position, there is a profession, there is a calling that is in our society, as in any society, is held up as perhaps the most honorable or one of the most honorable of callings. It is a calling that throughout the history of this society and other societies has not always been one of full-time duty, but one of a call during emergency. It is a call that went out in the early 1940s when our nation was under attack. It was a call that has gone out at various other times in our history when we have faced existential threats, threats that were potentially devastating to our country. It is the threat of war. It is the threat of an enemy. And what is that calling? What is that profession? What is that duty that has been undertaken by hundreds of thousands of people throughout the history of our country, throughout the history of countries and civilizations throughout all time? It is the calling of a soldier. A soldier. Now today we have a standing military force here. You go and are recruited to be in the army, and you may be on active duty even when there is not a warfare going on, but this was not always the case. Throughout history, the duty of the soldier has been to leave behind his normal calling, to leave behind his daily duties, to leave behind his family, to leave behind his wife, to leave behind his children, to leave behind his job and his profession and his hobbies and everything that he loves, to go fight, to go engage in battle. And we think back to stories of sacrifice made by those who have left everything they have loved. We think of the story of a man like Ted Williams, one of the greatest baseball players of all time, who in two different wars, World War II and the Korean War, left his baseball playing to go serve his military, his country, flying as a fighter pilot in active combat, taking 5 years off a career that was already one of the greatest in the history of Major League Baseball. We think of sacrifices of perhaps far more important than that sacrifice of a sporting career, but less publicized, people who have left behind everything to go be a soldier. And friends, those stories come into careful focus for us when we realize the lesson, the principle that we hear of in our reading this morning. Paul is speaking to his mentee, the one that he's training up, he's discipling after him. He is coming alongside Paul, the aged man who is about to die. This, we believe, is the last letter that Paul wrote, his book of 2 Timothy, to a person he calls his son. Not his biological son, but his son in the faith, the one who he had poured himself out into. Now you see, Timothy was something of a timid man, it appears. Timothy was a younger man. Paul, this whole letter, is having to motivate him and encourage him and to exhort him and to say, hey, Timothy, let no man despise your youth, but you be an example. He says, Timothy, don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Don't be frightened. You can do it. God has called you to something. And now in 2 Timothy 2, he looks at Timothy and he provides this really remarkable message to him. He says, thou therefore, Timothy, he says, you endure hardness. That word means hardship. That word means a struggle. That word means difficulty. He says, you endure difficulty as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Then he says these wonderful words, no man that warreth, no man that is in the active service of fighting, no man that is in the battle entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. My friend, the simple reality today is that if you are a Christian, whether you know it or not, you are a soldier. And what Paul is saying here is, are you going to be a good soldier or are you going to be a bad soldier? The choice is yours. The choice is yours, and it depends on this wonderful lesson that Paul gives for us here this morning. The lesson is entitled this morning, The Active Duty Christian. The Active Duty Christian, and we should ask ourselves whether we fall in that category here this morning. First of all, in this sermon on the active duty Christian, let's talk about the priority of this active duty soldier, this one who is in the battle, who is in the warfare. The priority, as you might expect, of a soldier is the battle. That is why he is there. He is not there to twiddle his thumbs. He is not there to get a good night's sleep. He is not there to be comfortable. He is not there for any of that. The soldier in the battle cares about the battle. That's why he is there. And when Paul looks at Timothy and says, Timothy, you be a good soldier. You be one on the front lines. You be the one in the battle. He says, what is your priority? Your priority is the battle. Let's understand three things about this priority. First of all, the essence of this battle. The essence of the battle that is at the priority of every Christian. Now, if we go back again to the idea of a soldier, soldiers fight battles between two, oftentimes, countries, entities, two sides. These countries get together on this side. These countries get together on this side. And there's a very clear enemy. There is a very clear struggle for supremacy going on. Now, what is the essence of the battle for the Christian? Well, my friend, if you are one of God's children, Scripture says you have entered into the kingdom of God. You are an American, perhaps, yes, but even more fundamentally than that, you are a Christian. You are one of God's people. You are one of His servants. You are one of His soldiers. And the Bible contrasts the kingdom of God that is in all of our hearts who are Christians with a kingdom of the world, a kingdom of the devil. The battle that we are fighting as Christians is between God and the devil, and it can be that stark for us. That is the battle that we are fighting. Those are the stakes of the warfare that we are engaging in. The author C.S. Lewis said something very interesting that caught my eye. He said that there is not a bit. Let me see if I can read this. There is no neutral ground in the universe. Think about that. There is no neutral ground in the universe. Back in World War II, some countries said, hey, we're going to sit this one out. One of those, unfortunately, was the country of Sweden. I don't know that my dad could ever get over that one. Sweden was like, hey, we're going to be neutral. We're going to sit this one out. Do you know there's no such thing as neutrality in the war between God and the devil? No, there is no ground to be play the middle of the fence. No, this one, there's no neutral ground because every single one is claiming ground that the other is contesting. What is the ground that they are contesting? Souls. Human beings. God says, hey, this one is mine. And the devil tries to say, no, that one's not. That one's mine. They are fighting over people. They are fighting over lives who will either spend eternity in heaven with God or eternity in hell with the devil. And there is a clash going on between these two forces. Notice secondly here, the enemies. The enemies in this battle. As Christians, who are our enemies? Well, Scripture says we don't wrestle, we don't fight against human beings. We don't fight against flesh and blood. My job is not to go kill someone's body in the warfare for God. No, the Bible tells us that we have three enemies. One of our enemies is the world. Now, what do you mean by that? The world? I thought God so loved the world. How can the world be our enemy? No, we're not speaking of the world as encompassing all the people in the world. Those aren't our enemies. No. What we talk about here is in the same way that the Apostle John tells us, love not the world. Don't love the world. Because if you love the world, you can't love God. Because why? They're enemies. They're apart. Now, this world that is being referred to here is everything that the devil has in his kingdom that resists God and his word. Everything that stands in opposition to God and says, no, God, you're not having your way here. Now, what a sad thing it is when we see Christians who not only are fine to be next to the world, but willingly embrace it. The world is seen all over in terms of entertainment that mocks Christians, that looks at God and says, your rules don't make any sense. I'm going to do it my way. That glorifies sin, that God, the Bible says that's wrong and it's sending people to hell. And Hollywood movies hold it up as a wonderful thing. And Christians go and sit at their movie theaters and watch and say, wow, that's great. I love this. Or whether it's in the battle of entertainment in music or in other things, that we look at sin being glorified and held up, and the world is saying, God, I hate you. And Christians say, all right, I love this. I love this. No, friends, our enemy is the world. Our enemy is that which resists and opposes God. It is the kingdom of this world. It is the kingdom of darkness. But our enemy is not just the world. The Bible says the enemy is also our flesh. In other words, the enemy is not just external. It is internal. Do you know that you have in you from the moment you were born a nature that wanted to do things wrong, that wanted to rebel against God? You've heard that voice talking to you when you see something that perhaps you want to steal or something you're going to tell a lie and you know, no, that's wrong. And you hear that voice inside of you saying, no, you should do it. You should tell that lie. You should steal that. What is that? It is your flesh speaking to you. It is your flesh saying, hey, you know what? You should rebel against God. You should do what he hates. The Bible says that's our enemy. It is internal. We are to war against the flesh. Now think about what it means when C.S. Lewis says there's no neutral ground in the universe. Do you know that's true in all of your decisions too? Do you know in all of your decisions, whether you sleep in the morning, what time you wake up, what you do with your time, what you do on the weekend, what you do with what you read, everything, there's no neutrality. You're either serving God and fighting on his behalf, or you're being a bad soldier and you're fighting on behalf of the devil and his kingdom. You're giving in to the enemy. You're submitting to the enemy. You're surrendering and you're losing. There's no neutral ground in your activities. Your activities are either good or they're bad. And it's important that we as a soldier figure out which is which. Which one is on behalf of our enemy and which one is on behalf of our general. The third enemy that Scripture talks about is the devil. The world, the flesh, the devil. And we know what the enemy that the devil is. The devil is real. The devil's not fake. The devil is not someone back 1,000 years ago conjured up to scare people. No, the devil's real, and he's our enemy. He is fighting against God, and if we are on God's side, he is fighting against us. He wants to see us devastated. He wants to see us in defeat. Those are our enemies. And that's why Scripture uses this picture, this story of a soldier to depict what our Christian lives are supposed to be. And third, let's understand here the effect of this battle. You say, is this just a kind of hypothetical battle? No, friends, there are stakes. There are real important stakes. You see, back in World War II, they understood that they were not fighting for land. They were not fighting for money. They were fighting to stop a maniac named Adolf Hitler from taking over the world. They understood that there was a real consequence to what happened in that war. And friends, in the war between God and the devil, in the war between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, there's a real consequence. It is eternal life. Friends, the winners of this battle are going to be in eternity with God in heaven. Those that have put themselves on the devil's side, on the kingdom of darkness, in the kingdom of this world, will suffer eternal torment in the lake of fire, a place called hell. Friends, the stakes could not be higher in this battle. And if you're a Christian here today, you're fighting on one side. You see, friends, do we understand the reality of the battle that's going on right now? Did you wake up this morning recognizing that you're a soldier and what you do today matters for eternity? Did you wake up this morning and recognize that you have an enemy that is out to destroy you and to consume you? Do you recognize that your life, how you spend every moment of your time, has eternal consequences? You see, we so often get into our world where we see battles and wars as just something that we can play at, that we can laugh at. I remember in college, I think this was when I was first introduced to a video game some of you have probably played called Halo. Halo, man, we would play that game and we'd shoot and fight and kill. You know what was so crazy about that game? Was you would get killed and guess what happened? 10 seconds later, you have a new life. Oh, I get to run around and shoot again. I get to go and have fun. And we can have this idea in our Christian lives as if the spiritual battle that we're raging, that is going on all around us, that we're fighting, is kind of like that. Oops, I stumbled and fell today. Oh, well, that doesn't really matter. Oh, well, I know I'm doing something that God doesn't want me to do here, and maybe I'm giving in to the devil here, but oh, well, I'll just do a little bit better next time. Friends, there's a real battle going on. You're a soldier. This is not play fighting. This is not just having fun. This is not just like rolling dice. This is reality. And there are eternal consequences at stake. You're a soldier. Remember that if you are in Jesus Christ. The priority of this person is the battle, and everything is focused is on that battle. Understand, secondly here, in addition to the priority of this soldier, we see the practice of this soldier. Timothy makes, or Paul says to Timothy, he makes a simple observation. He said, no man that is warring, no man that is in the battle, no man that's fighting entangles himself with the affairs of this life. What does he mean? What does he mean? That Greek word for entangles means literally to braid, to intertwine, to become intertwined. Now, I'm not any expert on braiding hair. I will admit that full well. Go talk to my wife if you would like to see an expert on braiding hair. But I do know enough that when you braid something, what do? You take strands of hair and you intertwine them. You weave them together into a pattern. That's what it means to braid. And so what is Paul saying here is when he says, no man that is fighting, no man that's an active duty soldier is entangled, is knotted up, is braided up, is intertwined with the affairs of this life. Well, let's take it back to the idea of a soldier in World War II. A soldier in the Korean War. My grandpa fought in the Korean War. My father-in-law fought in active duty in military service in the Vietnam War. And what did these men do when they went off to Korea? When they went off to Vietnam? Well, I'll tell you, my grandfather left his business behind and he went out to battle. My grandfather left his family behind and went out to the battle. My grandfather left his hobbies behind and went out to the battle. My grandfather left behind the things that he loved to do here to go out to the battle and fight. And can I tell you something? That when he was out on the battlefield fighting in the Korean War, he wasn't calling home every 10 seconds to see how the family business was doing. Can I tell you that he didn't have time every moment of the day to be sitting back and thinking about how his friends down at the Moose Lodge were doing, about how the hunting season was back in Minnesota, whether his friends were bringing in any deer? No, why? Because he was in battle. He was on the front lines. Now let's think about this as it concerns our Christian lives. Paul is saying here clearly to Timothy, Timothy, you're a soldier. Don't be entangled with the affairs of this life. Don't be tied up. Don't be limited by those things. No, you need to focus on being a soldier. Now, let's think first of all here about the reality. The reality of this practice. It's that entanglements are all around us. Distractions from being a soldier are all around us. We live in a world of so much comfort. We live in a world of so much entertainment and distraction that all around us, we can be so distracted from who we are as soldiers. And just as that soldier on the battlefield does not have any time when he's sitting in the bunker with bullets flying over his head and bombs dropping all around him. He doesn't have any time to pull out his cell phone and FaceTime back to home to see how his family is doing. So Paul says to Timothy, you don't get entangled either. In other words, there's not just a reality of this entanglement, there is a rejection of this entanglement. You see, one of the very fundamental misconceptions that we have as Christian soldiers is that our life can be a win-win kind of life. That God can win and my flesh can win too. That God will get his part in my battle, but just let me have some fun with what I want to do too. Let me make sure that I'm comfortable. Let me make sure that I'm winning too. God, can't we just be win-win here? No, friends. In God's army, it's a win-lose proposition. Why? Because Jesus Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek you first. He's first priority. He's the boss. He's the general. He wins all the time. And friends, do you know what also he said? He said, if you want to come after me, if you want to be my disciple, you need to deny yourself. You need to say no to yourself. You need to take up your cross. In other words, your own self needs to lose. He needs to win. That's what it means to be a soldier in active duty, and it's what it means to be a Christian in active duty. That you say, God, here I am. What do you want? I don't care how uncomfortable it is. I don't care how much hardship it is. I don't care how much difficulty it is. I don't care whether I am going to do what my flesh enjoys doing. I'm yours. It's a win-lose proposition. A man came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, I'm ready to be your disciple. And Jesus looked at him and says, hey, you know, animals have a place to sleep, but the Son of Man doesn't. I don't have a place where to lay down my head. What was he saying to that? Hey, I know you want creature comforts, but you're not going to get it following after me. He said, that's not what it is. Another man came to him and said, hey, Jesus, I want to follow you, but I got this family back at home. My dad's going to die one of these days, and I want to wait till I get the inheritance, and then I'm going to follow you. Jesus says, no, it doesn't work like that. Another man came to him and said, hey, Jesus, I want to follow you, but let me go home and say goodbye to my family first. Jesus said, hey, no man that sets his hands on the plow and then looks back at what's behind him, that kind of guy is not fit for my kingdom. You see, friends, what is our life supposed to be like as soldiers? Now, let me be very clear about something. God calls you to be a soldier at your job. He calls you to be a soldier in your classroom. He calls you to be a soldier with your friends. He calls you to be a soldier in all areas of your life. This call here is not to drop anything that is going on in your life and go sit in a monastery somewhere and be a monk. That's not what he's talking about here. But what he's talking about is this. What activities in your life, what hobbies in your life, what things that you enjoy in your life, what friendships in your life are entangling you right now? What things in your life are holding you back from being the soldier that he wants you to be? If you had to look at every activity in your life and say, is this helping God's kingdom or is this hindering God's kingdom? Because I know there's no middle ground. I'm either helping or I'm hindering. What's this activity doing? What's this hobby doing? And friends, oftentimes we may be forced to admit that there are things that we cherish, that we love, that are holding us back, that are distracting us, that are not being used to follow God, but instead are taking away from him. Here's something that's been a helpful question for me to ask myself, and then you may ask yourself today. It may help you to determine whether something's an entanglement. If God were to come and tap on an area of your life, if you were to come and say, hey, you know that hobby that you love so much? You know this thing that you love over here to do so much? It's a distraction. Give it up. How easily would you do that? How difficult would it be for you to say, okay, God, I give in. You have that. I'm not doing that anymore. It's a distraction. If it would, as I've seen in my own life, if you say, oh, man, would that hurt? Oh, man, that I don't know that I could do that. It may be entanglement. It may be something that on active duty, you're a soldier in the bunker getting distracted by your cell phone ringing. You may be the active duty person in the soldier or in the army who's pulling out the Wall Street Journal and looking how his stocks are doing. No, friend, entanglement is always going to hold us back from being the soldier that God wants us to be. And you see here what he says, thirdly, in the requirement of this practice. What Paul says to Timothy is, he says, no man that wars entangles himself. In other words, this is what it means to be an active duty soldier. You see, so oftentimes as Christians, or as I myself, I look at distractions and I say, well, maybe I shouldn't be doing that, but maybe it's okay. No, friend, what it means to be an active duty soldier is that there are no entanglements. You see, so oftentimes we ask the wrong question about our hobbies. We ask the wrong questions about what we are to be doing for God. We say, well, is it wrong? Well, we may convince ourselves that the answer is no, it's not wrong in and of itself. But that's not the right question. The right question is, knowing that I'm a soldier and that everything I do for God has eternal consequences either for good or for bad, how should I act? Is it right for me to do? You see, friends, someday God's going to look at us. He's going to analyze our lives. And he's not going to care so much about how good we got at golf. He's not going to care so much how we did at all, how many of the sporting statistics we memorized, how much we knew about every aspect of this area in life. Well, in some areas, he may have called us in those areas, and then we should do it as under the Lord. But friends, he's going to ask, how'd you fight? How were you as a soldier? How were you on the battlefield for eternity? That's the right question to ask. What is my life to be as a soldier? So we've seen here, first of all, we've seen the priority of the soldier. The priority is the battle. That is what consumes him. That is what fixes his gaze. Secondly, we see the practice. The practice of this soldier is to put away anything that would distract him, anything that would hold him back, that wouldn't advance his Christian life, but would detract from it. And third here, we see the purpose of this practice. Why? Why does the Christian, why does the active duty soldier put aside everything? Well, I love what Paul tells Timothy here. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Friends, do you know what our desire is when we are a soldier? Well, what's the desire of the active duty soldier? History is littered with examples of soldiers who have taken the most extreme risk, who have made the biggest possible sacrifice, who have taken on the most daunting obstacle for one reason. Why? So that their general will look at them and say, you did well. I'm proud of you. How many children have gone through their youth so looking forward to taking a step, looking forward to doing something so that their parent will look at them and say, wow, I'm so proud of you. You did such a great job. And friends, as active duty Christians, as active duty soldiers in God's army, our motivation must be to look up to our commander-in-chief, to our general, Jesus Christ, and say, I want to please you. That's number one. I don't want to please myself. No, you're the one whose eye I'm looking for. Now, Paul says something very interesting here. He says that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And the idea there is of the one who enlisted you, who recruited you, who took you in to the combat. Who's our recruiter? Who is the one who enlisted us and chose us to be in his army? It's Jesus Christ. It is the one who knew you before the foundation of the world, who loved you when you were his enemy, who came to earth to die on the cross for your sins, who came to give his life that you might have life. And then he is the one that by his Spirit drew you in repentance to himself. He was the one that pursued you and your heart. And that moment when you repented of your sins, you trusted him for eternal life, he taps you on the shoulder and he signs you up to be his soldier. He signs you up to be in his army. And then he says, now go fight. Now go fight. Friend, when you have that reality, when you have that perspective that Jesus Christ is personally the one who took you out of your sin, away from being the kingdom of God, He recruited you out of the enemy's kingdom, He brought you over to the right side that has promised heaven for eternity, and He's given you the provision, He's given you the weapons to fight for Him, and He says, go do it. How can our desire, how can our purpose in life be anything other than looking up to our general and saying, whatever you want, I just want your smile. I just want your pleasure with what I'm doing. You see, friends, as I mentioned, if you're in Jesus Christ today, if you've signed up for His battlefield, if you've signed up for His warfare, one day you are going to stand before your general one day. One day you are going to stand before your commander-in-chief one day. And may we, like Paul, be willing to say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. You see, friends, what a shame it would be if on that time when we stand before our general, we don't receive His smile because He said, did you see how entangled you were? Did you see how distracted you were? The bullets were flying over your head. The devil was on the move in this city. The devil was on the move in your Sunday school class. And you were too distracted by your flesh. You were too distracted by the things that you love to do. No, friend, hear the message from Paul to Timothy today. Nobody that is in active service is entangled. Now, is there a balance of truth here? Is there a balance of which Scripture says God has given us richly all things to enjoy? Of course there is. But friends, the Spirit is going to tell you which hobbies and which areas in your life are going to regenerate you and going to refresh you and give you rest for greater service, and which things are going to distract your heart and distract your mind and turn you away from God. The Spirit's going to tell you that. Because He's the one who wants you to be that good soldier. The question is today, are we going to listen? Do we care first and foremost about what our general says, about what our commander-in-chief says? Friends, that's what it means to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It means to be the one who has the priority of the battle that's going on for souls in the life of this community and in the life of this church. It is the settled and firm practice in our life to put away all distractions that would take us away from what Jesus Christ has called us to do. And it is the settled purpose to look up to our general and say, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. Friends, as we think back to the history of those, even in our family, those soldiers who have fought, who have left all behind, may we remember this picture of the Apostle Paul today, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That one day when your general stands before you, ready to give out your rewards for faithful service, he may say to you, well done, you good and faithful soldier. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the teaching of the Word of God. We thank you for the soldier calling that he has called each of us to. And Father, we thank you for the rescue from the enemy's camp. Father, I pray for those here this morning that have never signed up for your battle. They've never signed up as a soldier of Jesus Christ. They're still on the enemy's side. They're still in the devil's camp. Lord, today can be the day that they come to Jesus Christ. Today it can be the day that they switch sides by trusting in Jesus Christ for their salvation, by repenting of their sins, by surrendering and coming over to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. Friend, if that's you this morning while our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, if this morning you have never signed up for God's army, you've never trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, my friend, that can be today. You can be one of His soldiers. You can join His army. You can slip out from where you're seated. You can come and kneel at these steps. Someone will take a Bible and show you how you can be saved, how you can join God's army. Is there anyone that would come this morning and say, it's time for me to sign up? It's time for me to join God's army. Is there anyone? And Christian, perhaps now would be the time for you to ask whether there are entanglements and distractions in your life that are hindering you from being a soldier. Would today you repent and turn from those, that you may be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Father, may it be true in each of our lives. Now we ask that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost would be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. You're dismissed.